Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday 2023 or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
It is an honor to be here. Deanna, thank you for inviting me. And I get to start off my Sunday with a huge amends for being about 7 minutes late. So I apologize about that. Definitely something I keep working on and perfection, right? Progress. I have been in the program. It was really interesting signing the thing about now that we share this audio wise every meeting, and it's so cool. And you have to put in information. It was like, I have been in the program 38 and a half, almost 39, since 1984, December. I know, I look great for 80. And I got abstinent back and forth for 8 years. I would, when I first joined, well, let me just start with saying that one, I'm very grateful for my abstinence. I would be dead or 400 pounds if I didn't have this program. There's no doubt. I think I was born a compulsive overeater. My grandmother, it was dieting all the time. My mom's profession was food. When I went to kindergarten, we made homemade, you know, 1800-year-old butter as far as with the churn. And I was so excited for the butter and saltines that I couldn't take a nap. And I drove my teacher crazy. The fact that I remember that, or that I got that insane about it, was probably a good thing. I also remembered doing readings and listening to a little bit of a speaker last night about food and calming. And there used to be these ribbon candies. I don't know if anybody remembers them. And I was coming home with work from my dad. My mom took me, so we had this nice drive. And I was so excited about the candy. Well, his idea was so that it would fill my mouth and I wouldn't talk so much. I wanted to talk with him, and I didn't really realize that. But food was a big deal in our house, celebrating. My favorite babysitter was a football player because we got to sit in the kitchen and eat all the time. I remember for Halloween, I opened up a Baby Ruth. I don't know if I was in maybe third grade or fourth, and it was filled with cigarette butts. And my first thought was, what did I do wrong? Why did I get this? I was pretty much an instigator, gift of gab kind of thing. So as growing up with my mother telling me to modulate all the time, so the other kids weren't heard. So if we did things like we were all supposed to take a nap, but we weren't, but they heard my voice, I didn't get the caramel apples. So it was just one of those things that I didn't realize, but I just knew food was a big deal. And I didn't ever have a weight problem. I remember when I was in junior high, I was a cheerleader in grade school and high school, junior high, grade school, junior high. And I also did some drill team. And my poor mother, I never wanted to get out of bed, what I put her through. Happy Mother's to the Mother's Day. You know, unfortunately, I didn't realize the amazing things that you guys do and deserve on a daily basis until I was an adult. So I didn't have a weight issue. And I do remember a young girl when I was in junior high, and she weighed a certain amount. And I thought to myself, I don't ever want to weigh that. And it wasn't like it was a huge number, but for that age, it seemed like a huge number. And I had this thing of that I liked that I could eat whatever I wanted. Like the cheerleaders would go out to have hamburgers afterwards with the football players. And I liked I could eat whatever I wanted. I didn't, it was just my body until it wasn't. And in high school, I wasn't cheerleading anymore. I decided to join the swim team so I didn't gain weight. Never swam a race, should never have been part of the gym, swim team. And it didn't help. I started binging and purging. Well, not purging, binging in high school. I loved when I came home and nobody was there because then I could eat. And I didn't know what that was. I just know that it was my comfort. I think of that young girl now and I'm sad because my mother, who was a culinary, amazing professional, trendsetter, gourmet, like the highest honors you could have, would make these amazing dishes and parties. And then she'd make these incredible elaborate desserts. And then when they didn't eat them all, she'd stick them in the freezer. So I'd go downstairs to the freezer down below and the rec room, and I'd sit in the dark and I'd eat them. And trying to make sure that I didn't, you know, it wasn't seen. Went on dates, but didn't eat, but brought it home. In high school, had a boyfriend, could out eat him. He was a football player, 6'2". I started gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight, dieting, doing all those things, taking diuretics, taking over-the-counter stuff, just obsessed. And I didn't know, you know, it was just like, I just didn't know. And then I lost weight and I went to be a camp counselor, and my best friend, well, not my best friend, but I became very good friends with the baker and gained like 10 pounds in a month. It just, I didn't understand. And when I went to college, I remember my freshman year, I didn't know that the school I went to when I went through Rush was anti-Semitic. And I know we don't bring in religion here, but it was just one of those things where when I transferred to a different school and it wasn't like that, weight was a huge deal for me going through Rush. I must have gotten on the scale, I can't tell you how many times a day. It was one of those things that it was just a preoccupation. I remember there were lunches and I would go back, my favorite lunches, and I would go twice. And I didn't understand that I would do that. And then I would go to this place for dessert and get the biggest dessert. And I didn't know how I could do it. Or I'd take candy from some of the other girls' rooms. And there was a girl that was in the house that was anorexic and bulimic. And we felt bad for her, but we also kind of made fun of her. And what I didn't really realize was I had started bulimia. I'd learned from it, from the girls in the dorm before I moved in the house. And because I didn't do it that often, I didn't even think I had it. And I ended up my last year in school gaining a lot of weight very quickly. I had lost a bunch of weight. It was like I had this, what I'm going to eat. I looked at it and thought, am I a restrictor? It's like I can be any of it. I can have an anorexic thought. You know, my brain can be anorexic. I can restrict. I did so much. And when I gained like 40 pounds in I don't know how many months. And my dad was big on weight. It was like the only thing he didn't really like is fat people. And my grandparents would always call, and they were wonderful, my mom's parents, but one of the first things they always said was, how much do you weigh? Which was so important, I guess, as a granddaughter. And so that was just something that was a preoccupation. I loved to eat, and it was, you know, perusing the menu like it was, you know, a guy I wanted to go out with. It was just part of me, and I didn't understand it. It was an obsession and I couldn't stop. I never thought I would be thin. I never thought I would have any control over it because my weight was like a roller coaster. If I lost weight, then I'd gain weight. I was always afraid of that. And then professionally, I was DJing, and my rock bottom was when I was binging and purging during breaks. There was an area where there were lots of restaurants and some bars, and during my breaks, I would go to different restaurants. I would, when I went to the grocery store, back then spending $50 was a lot of money for one person. And, you know, I would go and binge. I had a surprise party for a boyfriend, but I wasn't going to get dessert. And of course, in the middle of the party, I left and had to go buy all this dessert. So obviously, you know, no control. And I started binging and purging at work. And I remember looking in the mirror. And I thought,
that's your first tip.
Thank you. What's the difference between being thin and being fat for me? And I thought, on the inside, nothing. It was just on the outside, I may have appeared cuter or fit into better clothes. I've kept off I don't know, 49, 48 pound weight loss for the 29 years. 20, I guess 20, maybe 25 years of it. But I've gone down a little and at times too, and that's been a concern for me, which never would have been before. When that realization came that I was wanted to die, and it wasn't like I was huge as far as, you know, the weight or anything. It wasn't when I was close to 50 pounds overweight, but I just wanted to die. And I'd started going to meetings. And I only wanted to go for a year because so I could stand up and say how great I was that I did it. And then I was going to be gone. And I went to treatment. But at that time, it was just drug addicts and alcoholics. I was the only one that was had an eating disorder. So I was able to help con what my was going to eat, you know, calorie wise, whatever it was, and went in there and lost some weight. But I ended up doing the first five steps. And that's when I started to understand program, because I didn't know it then. And I got a sponsor that had what I wanted. And she was, you know, gentle and kind and worked the steps and was married and, you know, went through hell and shared her story. And I would have, like I said, I'd have months or I'd have a year, and then I'd have a breakup and I'd binge again and purge. And then I had a year and a half once, and then had another breakup and binged and purged. And I just wasn't getting it. And I got in a car accident and thought I was okay, but I wasn't, and on medication, and the doctor put me in forever and had me on drugs. And I don't know, I was there for a week. I don't even remember much of it. And we were throwing my parents a 35th anniversary party. And I don't know why I didn't think, okay, can I go out a day early? But I missed it. It was the night before I was leaving. And so my friend I also worked in restaurants when I was younger. My friend who owned a deli bakery brought me all this food, and I started binging and purging in the hospital. It makes me really sad to think about it. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be getting better. You're bulimic. Because I didn't really think of myself as bulimic because I didn't do it every day. Well, I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't have to compulsively eat every single day, but the obsession was there. And that was the first day, November 17th, 1994, their anniversary is on the 16th, that I became abstinent. And the miracle is that I always thought that I had to do it. I believed that there was, you know, God, higher power, whatever up there, but never this connection. And by using the program, doing the work, and not, my absence, I call it imperfect absence, because there's nothing like perfection. If it was perfection, I would definitely not be absent. I mean, I've eaten too much at times. I'm working right now to try and really reduce, or hardly eating any sugar, and just to make changes for health. But I really didn't realize I was absent for the until I moved here, and it'd been 3 years. I mean, that is a higher power that I it was completely lifted for me. And that when I first came into program was I did what I was told. I before I went to a restaurant, I looked to see what it was because I wasn't going to peruse the menu because if I did, I'd be in trouble. There were so many things I didn't go to. I mean, I lost a friend for a while because she was getting married and I didn't go to some of her parties. I didn't go to my parents' lake house. My mom said it was like for so many years because I knew I'd binge. Like, I wasn't going to risk that. I missed my mom's 50th birthday party, which I regret to this day, but I stayed in California and went to a place, a Serenity place,
That's your
because
5 minute.
thank you, because I knew I'd binge. So I was willing to do whatever it took. And there were foods that I didn't eat. And I just want to say too, when I got out of treatment, I binged and purged on white bread. It was not an immediate thing. Like I said, I went back and forth for 8 years. So for anyone who's going through any of it, not getting it, struggling, getting it, not getting it, please hang in there, because if I can get it, anybody can get it. And really, it was learning that my footwork and turning it over, like it was done for me. And I never got that. I really thought, okay, it's me. I'm gonna make it happen, because that's how I lived my life, making things happen that I wanted, which I have learned, especially in the last 6 years with stuff that's gone in my life. That is probably the worst thing I can try and do, because it doesn't come out as good. And my relationship with a higher power has changed. My food has changed. I got exposed to toxic molds and I got very, very sick, and I lost a bunch of weight, and it scared the heck out of me. And the focus then became about food and eating and trying to gain the weight and what can I do to gain the weight. And my therapist is in program, and she's all of a sudden these thoughts, and thankfully I've gained a bunch of weight. I'm more than I'd weighed before I got sick. And she said, I said, all of a sudden I have the thoughts again. Like, for what, 25 years, I never had a thought about food or weight or whatever. I mean, what a miracle that is. And all of a sudden, it's back. And it's been a struggle. There have been times where I've been really concerned. And I'm just honest about it at meetings, because I'm going to be a compulsive overeater till the day I die. And it's shown me that just because it was, the thoughts were gone, or the feelings were gone, or the temptation felt it was gone, doesn't mean it can't come back, but I don't have to act on it. And I may make choices that with foods, like I said, I may overeat for a meal, or I may have thoughts or whatever. Like, I'm a human being. And it's food, and it's not like alcohol where you just don't eat it. So really, I really say imperfect, or perfective imperfection abstinence, and it's different for everybody, and it also changes what I didn't eat before I then could eat, what I'm eating now and trying. It's like just for today. So this is compulsive overeater addiction, even though I am just for today. We're all abstinent right this now. I have the same as you as far as abstinence today, right this now, with this moment. And I really believe that. I'm not just saying that, because the rest of the day I pray to God that I'll stay abstinent, but it's a moment of time. It's being willing, it's sharing, it's reading, it's talking to people, it's reaching out. But I went to the store, and I decided before I was having this major oral surgery that I was going to really not want to eat desserts, because normally that you'd be eating all the sweet, soft stuff. And but there was one place that I wanted to go before, and I didn't. And it was right next to this grocery store. So I walked in and I was like, oh, these look really good. And I just said to them, you know, I'm just trying not to eat sugar. These look really good. And I walked out and they even had free samples. I mean, that's insanity. That's a compulsive overeater. What person who's not a compulsive eater who's deciding not to eat sugar would go in and look and say, it'd be like sitting in a bar or a brewery and going, that beer looks really nice, but I'm not drinking. I mean, it's like, but I'm a compulsive overeater, but I don't have to act on it. And I didn't know before this program that I could have thoughts and not act on them. I didn't know that. I thought if I had a thought, that was it. And I have to be willing. And sometimes I'm willing and sometimes I'm not. And by the grace of God, I get through a day and have the years, I think, are the foundation of the backup that helps me get through those tough times. Because I don't know that I have the humility to come back. And I don't know if I could. That's the other thing. The DDs will tell me a lot of things, and none of them are true. And the disease doesn't want me to have a full life. The disease doesn't want me to live to my fullest potential. It wants me to isolate and stay in a room.
And
Thank
that's your
you.
time. Thank you.
And today I don't have to do any of that with the help of this program. So I hope that I've said something that will help you have a beautiful abstinent day. And again, welcome to any of the newcomers, and I'm really grateful to be of service. So thanks, Nina.